Hello, and welcome to Tech Access Weekly, a podcast of unspecified length concerning news and events in accessible technology. It's Sunday, September 20th, 2009. Hi folks, this is our fourth episode, and I've got stories ranging from economic news in the technology market to fascinating science news. I'm going to start off with a surprising development regarding search engines. Microsoft Bing, in August, grabbed about 10% of the overall market share, which means that it was used 10% of the time relative to other search engines. Google, of course, has the highest share, about 64%, but Bing was definitely in the top 10. This was according to a Nielsen study recently published. I personally don't use that search engine. In terms of accessibility, it is rather cluttered and unorganized. I'm betting that most blind people probably use Google or some other engine that is not so full of clutter. It will be interesting, though, to see what happens with Bing, because Microsoft is going to come out with a new version Bing 2.0 soon, which will apparently have some new features and enhancements in it. There's no word yet on what they are, but perhaps it will make it a little bit better and cleaner. We can hope. Moving from search engines to cell phones. It's been in the news lately that Palm is in economic difficulty, and the company recently released the Palm Pre, a smartphone, in an attempt to boost sales and revenue. On a positive note, it appears that purchases of the Pre are relatively high. A market research firm called Interpret did a study on smartphones. They rated a whole bunch of smartphones among consumers and determined that consumers purchase smartphones for a variety of reasons, the three most important of which are whether they considered the phone to be smart, whether they considered it to be cool, and whether they considered it to increase their productivity. Consumers rated the iPhone highest, but the Pre came in second, even above the BlackBerry smartphones. So this seems to be good news for Palm. However, CNET News reports that despite the fact that the Pre boosted Palm's sales, they reported their eighth consecutive quarter of loss recently. So the upshot of this is the Pre is helping boost Palm's revenue, but definitely not as much as was hoped. Palm might be struggling, but Facebook's popularity is exploding. As of this week, the number of Facebook users has gone to up to 300 million. This is bigger than the population of every country except for about four. This 300 million mark means that the number of Facebook users is almost equal to the number of people living in the United States. Not only is its user base expanding, but the capabilities of Facebook are growing by leaps and bounds. We know that it launched a number of new products this year, including an iPhone application, as well as the recently launched Facebook Lite. And more things are under development all the time, not only by Facebook developers, but also by third parties. Facebook is launching a site on which you can test various prototypes of things that the Facebook team is developing. In order to find that site, you can go to the applications directory in Facebook and filter by prototypes in order to test different things. I have not tested these, but I will be doing so, maybe testing some of the things to see how accessible they are. I have done some preliminary work on Facebook Lite, and it is very accessible. I will put a link to that in the show notes, in case anyone else wants to test it out. Speaking of new Facebook developments, another very exciting one is voice chat. Believe it or not, Facebook is coming on board with Skype and other VoIP providers. It's not, of course, a VoIP provider, but it will allow users to chat with anyone on their friends list by voice. This is coming soon, within the next few weeks. Facebook is not providing the voice chat itself. This is being provided by Vivox, which is a Boston-based company that provides the voice chat services for things like Second Life. Since the technology isn't Facebook's, each user is going to have to install a plugin from Vivox, but once that plugin is installed, the chat capability should work pretty seamlessly. The most interesting side of all this, at least to me, is that Vivox is making its technology available not only to Facebook for development, but also to third-party developers who want to use voice in their Facebook applications. This is in closed beta right now, which means I guess that they've got all the testers that they need, Facebook does. I'll be interested when it comes out full-fledged, I'll be interested in the accessibility of it. So I may not get to test it right away when it comes out, but if blind listeners here would like to test it out and report back on how accessible they find it, I'd appreciate it. Speaking of voice chat, Skype is being sued by its founders. Deary, deary me. Or more precisely, eBay is being sued by the founders of Skype. In 2006, of course, eBay bought Skype, but the founders, who currently have a company called Jolted, retained their rights concerning the actual technology that they developed, the peer-to-peer technology. To make a long story short, though, they are seeking an injunction and damages because they allege that eBay is misusing this technology and that their rights are being infringed upon by hundreds of thousands of Skype users. Jolted is seeking an injunction and damages from eBay. They allege that damages are accruing at the rate of $75 million per day. This could potentially complicate the sale of Skype. eBay is debating on selling it, and this suit might hold up that process. So even though we as day-to-day users might not notice much of a difference, if you are of a legal turn of mind, you might wish to track events as they proceed in this suit. Another case concerning copyright issues, this one with potentially more far-reaching consequences than the one regarding Skype. Veo, V-E-O-H, is a video sharing company similar to YouTube. A U.S. district court recently ruled in its favor when discussing third-party copyright violations. What the district court decided was that the company was not liable for copyright violations by third parties who may visit the site. This means that Veo is not required to police its site and look for such violations either. This decision may not mean that much in the short term because Veo doesn't hold a large share of the web video market like YouTube and Hulu do. However, YouTube has a similar suit pending. It's between YouTube and Viacom in New York. And there is a great likelihood that the judge in that suit will consider the Veo case very seriously when making his decision, since the facts in both cases are very similar. So it'll be interesting to note whether this Veo case influences the decision which will finally be made in the suit between YouTube and Viacom. There's really no great segue into this next segment, but it is concerning the addition of sound to electric cars. This is a great thing for those of us who, well, can't see the cars. Electric cars have been getting a larger and larger share of the market, bit by bit, even though they are so expensive. However, there's one problem with them. As a rule, they do not emit any sound, so they could potentially sneak up on us and run us over. Many organizations have been concerned with this problem, and Nissan is taking steps to rectify that with their new car, the Leaf. They're planning to add artificial sound. They're not planning to make it just like an ordinary car sound, though. One of the engineers at Nissan who's responsible for this said that he wanted to make the sound beautiful, quote-unquote. The sound up for consideration is similar to the spinner sound in the movie Blade Runner. In this movie, the police have these wonderful flying cars called spinners. So if the sound is going to be added to the Leaf, the car will sound something like this. Thanks go to IamNotLying.com for that spinner sound. I'll put the link in my show notes. Moving from science fiction to science fact, the first rocky exoplanet was confirmed this week. Scientists have long been in search of these exoplanets, and what an exoplanet is it's not only a planet that exists outside our solar system, but it's a planet that will be circling its own sun, which is similar to Earth's sun, and it would also have a rocky surface and be about the same size as Earth. Scientists think that these planets have the greatest potential for containing life or for supporting Earth life. This planet that was recently discovered has a density similar to Mercury, Venus, Mars, and Earth. They are the four terrestrial planets that are currently known in the universe, and the addition of this planet makes them five. This last story also concerns space, or more precisely, urine in space. That's correct. Last week, the shuttle Discovery, upon leaving the International Space Station, was carrying on board with it a large quantity of waste products, specifically wastewater and urine. That evening, as it was flying overhead, it released all of this water, creating a big silver plume. Many skygazers saw this. One actually photographed it and speculated that it was indeed space urine. And as it turned out, he was correct. I'd like to end with a new segment, Event of the Week. This upcoming week, on September 22nd, in Accessible World's Tech Talk training room, a representative from Sendero Group will be discussing its line of GPS products. For further details, you can visit accessibleworld.net. This wraps up our fourth episode. Thank you very much for listening. To contact the team for Tech Access Weekly, send an email to techaccessweekly@gmail.com, or you may leave a voice message at 260-2-ASK-TAW, 260-227-5829. Please visit our website at techaccessweekly.com.